Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust over 40 years of experience providing innovative pension solutions. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Text 51551. Drive Time on RTE Radio 1.
American conservatives are gathering in Budapest ahead of the opening of the CPAC conference, where Hungary's nationalist leader, Viktor Orban, will be the star speaker. This comes as the US President Joe Biden condemned those who spread white supremacist lies for power, political gain and for profit during a visit to Buffalo, New York, where 10 people were killed in a racist shooting last Saturday. In an emotional speech, Biden called white supremacy a poison, and he appealed for people to reject the ideology of the Great Replacement Theory.
What happened here is simple and straightforward. Terrorism. Violence inflicted in the service of hate and the vicious thirst for power that defines one group of people being inherently inferior to any other group. A hate that through the media and politics, the internet, has radicalized angry, alienated, lost, and isolated individuals into falsely believing that they will be replaced, that's the word, replaced by the other, by people who don't look like them. I call on all Americans to reject the lie, and I condemn those who spread the lie for power, political gain, and for profit.
Well, joining us now on the line is senior reporter with Vice, David Gilbert, who's in Budapest for that conference. And David, we might start with those comments from President Joe Biden first, because they were very specifically targeted, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. It was good to hear him speaking specifically about white supremacy and about the Great Replacement Theory, because I think it's good to talk about those things publicly, because for a lot of the time when people talk about them, they're kind of couched in softer language. And he did point out as well that there are certain people who are using those terms for their own gain, for either financial gain or political gain. Now, he didn't name names, but it was quite obvious that who he was talking about was the likes of Fox News host Tucker Carlson, who has pushed that theory relentlessly in recent years, and as well many of the Republican Party, who have increasingly used the Great Replacement Theory as a campaigning tool ahead of the midterm elections in 2022.
Yeah, and I know it is a theory or a conspiracy, depending on which way you want to look at it, that has gained quite a lot of traction in American politics recently. But for Irish listeners who might not be that familiar with it, can you just explain what's behind it?
Sure. And to be clear, it's absolutely a conspiracy. It's not a theory. It's something that has been around for centuries, that has kind of, you know, been reimagined over the years. But it essentially boils down to this belief among a group of people that their race is going to be overtaken by migrants. Now, in the US, that's white Christians who believe that immigration, whether it's Muslims or people from Mexico or from any other part of the world, are going to come in and take over their country and become the majority, and therefore erode their culture and their society. And we've seen this here in Budapest as well, in Hungary. The leader here, Viktor Orban, he has cited this conspiracy theory for years, and now it's making its way to the US, where it kind of was, you know, relegated to fringe message boards and internet sites for years. But now, in the last few months, it's become much more mainstream. And that's deeply worrying, given how toxic it is and how much it influenced the gunman in Buffalo last weekend.
And what has prompted that? Is there any, like, why has it become so much more mainstream? Where is it coming from?
It stems really from the rise of Trump in 2016. He came to power because he tapped into this feeling among a vast swathe of America who felt that they were being unrepresented in Hollywood, this idea of draining the swamp, and that the elites were running the country and had forgotten about working class white Americans. And Trump really tapped into that, and he's kind of pushed it ever since, even though, ironically, obviously, he is one of the elites, being a multimillionaire. But That's how it kind of started to gain traction in the US, and it's kind of been bubbling up for years, and now it seems to be coming to the surface.
Okay. And as you mentioned, in this shooting in Buffalo where 10 people were killed, this replacement theory was very much part of the gunman's manifesto.
Yeah, like his manifesto, I guess, it was kind of just a rehash of the stuff that we saw from the Christchurch shooter a couple of years ago. He copy and pasted a lot of that. But what really gave an insight into his mindset was his diary that he wrote on a Discord server and he published just before he started the shooting. Now, reading through that, you get an idea of a guy who was really, he was only 18 at the time. He was really confused. He didn't know what he was doing. He was doubting himself constantly. He talked about taking his own life repeatedly. Yet every time he doubted himself, he came back to, I have to do this for the greater good. There is going to be a white genocide. I need to take out black people because they are taking over my country. He spoke about taking out Muslims and Jews as well, but felt that black people were the biggest threat to his way of life because he was white. And he had been listening to people online telling him that these other races and other religions were coming to take over his country, which is just completely untrue. But he was so convinced of it, even though he put it off and put it off, he actually postponed the shooting 6 different times. In the end, he was so convinced by this conspiracy that he actually went ahead and killed 10 people.
Would you regard the comments then made by Joe Biden calling out white supremacy and calling out people who are platforming these conspiracy theories, would you regard that as significant?
It is. And I think just by actually using the language that he used is important because it gives it a name and people can kind of relate to it more rather than couching it in just saying conspiracies or whatever else. But the problem is he's speaking to an audience and the people who believe this thing don't even believe that he is the legitimate president. They still believe that Donald Trump won the election and it was stolen from him by Joe Biden because that's such a pervasive belief now in America. So even though his comments were very strong and very welcome, he's not really going to get through to the people who may need to hear it most.
You might talk to us then about what's going on in Hungary this week.
Yeah, it all kind of ties together because the reason that CPAC, which is a kind of conservative conference series that's typically held in the US, is coming to Europe for the first time. And they've chosen Hungary as the country that they're going to set up shop. And the reason they've done that is because Viktor Orban is kind of a version of Trump that Trump wants to be. He's been in power for 12 years. He's changed election laws to allow him to stay in power for as long as he wants. He's got a huge amount of control over the judiciary. He's squashed the press, so that very little independent press is allowed here. He pushes Christian and traditional family values. He's undermined LGBTQ legislation and gender identity legislation, which are all topics that the kind of pro-Trump MAGA crowd in America really want to push, as we've seen with the Don't Say Gay laws in Florida and across the US recently. So they've set up shop here, CPAC, because they believe that this kind of anti-woke paradise that Viktor Orban has created is something that they want to replicate in the US. And they've come to Budapest to learn from him, effectively.
Of course, Orban is also, and Hungary is also, the country blocking EU sanctions on Russian oil at the moment. So does that cause any problems for the attendees?
As far as I can tell, it doesn't. Now, so far, the conference is only starting tomorrow morning, so I haven't been able to speak to attendees that much. But the fact that they're willing to travel all the way from the US to come here clearly means it isn't. And for Orban, it means while he has been isolated because of that stance on Russia, he now has kind of this new alternative international alliance because there are lawmakers or politicians coming from France, from Italy, from Austria, as well as the US. And they're kind of giving Orban a kind of veneer of respectability, I guess. And so for him, the fact that this conference is going on will help kind of lessen the isolation that he's feeling internationally.
And do we have any idea how many people are attending, David, finally?
We don't. The organizers are pretty, whilst the American Conservative Union is kind of sponsoring it, the organizers are a conservative think tank controlled effectively by the Orban government here in Hungary. And they are very anti-media. So it's unclear whether I will even get access to the conference tomorrow. I spoke to them today and they were kind of saying that I wouldn't. But I'm hoping that in the morning I'll be able to get access. But they're giving out very, very little information about who exactly is attending or how many people are attending.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on it if we can. But David, thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's David Gilbert, who is a senior reporter with Vice, who specialises in covering disinformation and conspiracies.